taking the over or under? What about the favorite or the underdog? There's a lot to break down for your sports betting pleasure. This is The Money Line with your hosts, Ryan Porth and Chase McCabe, powered by TwinSpires Sportsbook on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Welcome into a special Thursday edition of The Money Line, powered by TwinSpires Sportsbook here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game Nashville app. Ryan Porth joined, as always, by Chase McCabe for another fun hour of sports betting talk. Chase, how we doing this evening?
I'm doing great, Ryan, and it is fun to be here on a Thursday. Usually we are on Fridays at 6 o'clock. That's every Friday at 6 o'clock. I know some people, they don't always know when things are on. Fridays at 6 o'clock is usually when this show comes on. So excited to be here. It's called The Money Line. Excited to hang out with you, and let's talk some betting.
Let's talk some betting, and the reason why we are tonight and not tomorrow is the Nashville Predators are taking on the Chicago Blackhawks for the third of a three-game set against the Hawks, and that pregame coverage starts at 6 tomorrow. So we have been kicked to Thursday night here at 7 o'clock after a terrific NFL draft preview show from Jared Stillman, Teron Davenport, Chris Sanders. And speaking of the draft, Chase, I remember looking at some futures with the NFL back, I want to say in February, and the only thing available at that time was where Trevor Lawrence would go.
Sure.
And that was heavily favored for Jacksonville. And then there was another prop for who would go number one overall, and that was heavily favored for Trevor Lawrence. And as kind of a newbie with sports betting, since it all started in November here in the state of Tennessee, I didn't know what to expect with the NFL draft. I was a little concerned that that was all we were going to have and that there was nothing else that we could bet on with the NFL draft. But wait, there is so much more now that we are 1 week away from the NFL draft. From round one of the NFL draft, there is so much that you can do on any sports book, including the TwinSpires sports book. So many different options, whether it's what player is the first player drafted at their position, whether it's what position do certain teams go for with their first draft pick, who goes number three overall, who goes number four overall, which players are going to be a top 5, 10, or 20 pick. There are so many options that you can have with the NFL draft. And it's been so fun, so much fun looking at all these different things that you can bet on with the draft.
Yeah, I love these props that you can look at. And I was going through and, they even got first special teams player to be drafted. Max Duffy and Evan McPherson, the two favorites at plus 200, in case you were wondering.
Sure.
But over under total SEC players drafted. I mean, there's just so many different things that you can do. Here's another one that I like. Exact outcomes of picks 3, 4, and 5. You have different combinations that you can go with that.
Let's actually get to that, because that's one of the things that really stuck out to me when looking at all these props. Obviously, it feels like the Atlanta Falcons at number 4 overall hold all the cards to how the top 10 is going to shake out, because we know number one is going to be Trevor Lawrence to Jacksonville. We have a pretty good feeling that Zach Wilson is going number two to the New York Jets. And then we think that Mac Jones is going number three overall to the San Francisco 49ers. And the Atlanta Falcons, whether they go with Justin Fields at number four, whether they go with Kyle Pitts at number four, whether they go with somebody else at number four, or whether they trade out of the fourth overall pick because someone wants to trade up and get Justin Fields or maybe Trey Lance. I hope not, for whatever team's sake, that they aren't trading up to number four to get Trey Lance. But there are a lot of different options with that fourth overall pick. So the combination that stood out to me the most in these options for the NFL draft for outcomes 3, 4, 5 with the first round. So the favorite is Mac Jones 3, Kyle Pitts 4, Ja'Marr Chase 5.
Okay. Yep.
You're going to see that in a lot of a lot of mock drafts. And currently that is plus 325. So that is the favorite right now. Then you have Jones, Pitts, Sewell. You have Fields, Pitts, Chase, not you.
Hey.
We have Fields, Pitts, Sewell. And then here's the one that stands out to me the most that I think has really good value.
Yep.
Mac Jones, 3, Justin Fields, 4, Ja'Marr Chase, 5 at plus 800.
I like that one. It seems relatively safe. But here's the deal. And this is where I do not envy the Cincinnati Bengals, because we know they don't need a quarterback, so they don't care about that. But could they use a stud go-to wide receiver to pair with Burrow? And by the way, one he knows pretty well? Absolutely they could. Could they use a stud go-to tight end that Burrow could throw to? Absolutely they could. But here's the problem. What happened to Joe Burrow a lot last year before he got hurt?
He ate a lot of turf.
He ate a ton of turf. He got beat up like no other. So if you're being smart about it, if you're going – and it's – again, it's a tough decision. We had Mark Dominic, former GM, on today talking about that of like, man, it's tempting to get some of those weapons. But you got to protect the quarterback too. That's why Penei Sewell in so many mock drafts has been penciled in at number 5 going to the Bengals. And so if you're looking at these, you know, I kind of like Jones, Fields, Sewell at plus 900, assuming that Atlanta is going to take a quarterback to take over for Matt Ryan when his time is done. Fields doesn't have to start from day one. He has some time, you know, to learn there. If they hang on to Matt Ryan, who knows? I mean, I've seen crazier things happen, but I think that's what would end up happening. But that's what's interesting about the Bengals pick at 5 is they have options, but it's a tough one because they really do need to protect Burrow. But at the same time, I know they would like to have, reunite him with Chase or bring in Pitts.
Well, either way, I agree with you that Penei Sewell is probably the smarter pick for the Bengals. You could go with Ja'Marr Chase at 5 and address your offensive line in the second and third sure. rounds if you're Cincinnati and put Burrow and Chase back together as a 1-2 combo. And that would be a pretty attractive 1-2 combo for Cincinnati moving forward if they do draft Ja'Marr Chase at number 5 overall. But either way, the value that you get with that option to me might be the best value on the entire draft board on TwinSpires, honestly. Yeah. Because I could see a scenario where Atlanta drafts Justin Fields. I could see a scenario where the Falcons trade out of number 4 because someone wants to trade up and draft Justin Fields. So at plus 800 or at plus 900, you know me, I like to hedge.
Sure.
I mean, if you throw, say, $10 on both to happen, you're yielding at least $70.
Yeah, and I mean, I would even consider, let's see. I would consider that. I mean, Trey Lance, I'm not sold. But, you know, I've seen some mocks that have Trey Lance 4th overall, not necessarily to the Falcons. So, I mean, this entire category, there's a lot there. There's a lot of value. But to me, the Falcons hold all the cards to help you decide what you're going to do because, you know, they could take Kyle Pitts. They could just say, hey, we're going to take Kyle Pitts or Ja'Marr Chase. Like, they could do that. But I don't think so. I think they're pretty good, pretty set at wide receiver.
Well, we all know that Arthur Smith, now head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, mm-hmm. loves tight ends.
He does. So, he loves using the tight end.
Yes. So he used Jonnu Smith, Anthony Firkser a lot. And even the little gadget tight ends, either Jeff Swaim or Michael Pruitt, he loves tight ends. So Kyle Pitts, in all likelihood, is probably the number 4 overall pick. Even though there might be a lot of smoke going into the draft that the Falcons want to trade out of 4, How many times do we see a lot of smoke around a team going into the draft and it peters out and they end up just drafting the best player available at number four?
Yeah.
Or at whatever overall pick they are. I mean, we see that all the time in almost every draft, whether that's the NFL draft, the NHL draft, the NBA draft, a lot of rumors, and then nothing happens. So at the same time, I think there's great value there with Fields, Jones 3, Fields 4, Chase 5, or Jones 3, Fields 4, Penei Sewell 5.
So let me ask you this. With Cincinnati and then Miami at 6, we know they don't need a quarterback. We know they're good there. Miami's already traded once, and they traded – or twice, actually. They traded back in to get to 6. So we know that they're probably not going to take a quarterback. Detroit at 7 is interesting. They just made the trade. They got Goff. But, you know, L.A. shipped him off. They swapped Stafford and Goff. You do kind of wonder, and I'm looking at Daniel Jeremiah's mock right now. He actually has them taking Justin Fields at 7th overall. Wow. But if they are dead set on a quarterback and they want Fields or Lance, you know, could they be the dance partner with Atlanta if Atlanta's like, nope, we're riding Matt Ryan. That's what we're going. And he actually has Trey Lance going to Atlanta 4th overall. But if they're like, nah, we're going to ride with Matt Ryan, that's what we're going to do, could Detroit be the dance partner? And then that kind of changes some things. I mean, Detroit could then get their guy there, and then that still leaves Pitts, Chase, or Sewell for Cincinnati at 5.
I would not rule that out from the Detroit Lions. I mean, Jared Goff, we kind of know what he is at this point. Whether the Lions are okay with that or not, we don't know.
Right.
So we obviously will know if they trade up that they aren't okay with Jared Goff being their franchise quarterback for more than just 1 or 2 years.
Right. I think they're going to look towards the future.
Here's another interesting prop bet on Twin Spires that I just saw. So you can bet individual draft specials. So with individual players ranging from Trevor Lawrence to, you know, almost anybody draft or projected in the first round. So Trey Lance, the over under for draft position is 6.5.
Ooh.
The over is getting you +115. And the under is -143. 6.5.
I might take the over there.
I mean, the over feels kind of safe. I mean, I know everybody goes crazy for quarterbacks at the top of the first round. But don't you think some teams are going to be a little gun-shy giving up a lot to trade up to get Trey Lance?
Yeah. Well, and I'm curious, too. So, like, we're in agreement on the top three, right? Lawrence, Wilson, Mac Jones.
Correct.
Now, a month ago, I think I wouldn't have said Mac Jones at 3. I wouldn't have said that. But now it seems like that they've fallen in love with him. That's their guy. You know, Shanahan's going to make him into what he thinks he can be. And so he goes 3rd overall. Trey Lance, I feel like, even though some mocks still have him 4th overall, the shine's worn off. And so that could make Justin Fields, who also the shine kind of wore off, come back up. And that's what's so hard to figure out with that 4th pick, whether it's Atlanta or somebody else, of which quarterback it's going to be. So to that point, I think the over is definitely worth putting some shekels on, as they say, because I don't think there is a, yeah, for sure, Trey Lance is going to be the 4th quarterback taken. Whereas you say that with the top three, I don't feel that way because some like Justin Fields more, some like Trey Lance more. And that's what makes it so tough. So that's why I would take the over. I think that's a good bet.
I would agree with that. Here's another one, and we'll get to the cash or trash NFL draft picks coming up here in a moment. But there's been a lot of smoke around Azeez Ojulari, a lot of talk around him. You see him in mock drafts go from really anywhere from the high teens to the mid-30s. I mean, he's kind of all over the place in mock drafts. But he's an edge rusher, and teams love getting that edge rusher, unless you're the Tennessee Titans, and then you don't love getting edge rushers. But his over-under for draft position, Azeez Ojulari, is 26.5. 26.5. And it's minus 112 both ways.
I think I like the under.
Because
I've seen him anywhere from like 18 to about 25 at the different mocks that I've been looking at. And Daniel Jeremiah's is the one I have pulled up right now. He's 23rd overall to the Jets.
I mean, 26.5, that is an interesting number for sure.
That would put him Baltimore, New Orleans, Green Bay, Buffalo, KC, or Tampa. And I've seen him going 26 overall to Cleveland.
Well, if you go under, he's going 26 or higher. So, I mean.
That's why. Okay, so that's interesting. Because I think in most of the mocks, now that I think about it, I've seen a lot of him going to Cleveland, and that's 26. So 26.5 makes sense.
They know what they're doing in Vegas.
Yeah, Vegas knows.
Vegas knows. So a lot of interesting things to keep an eye on with the NFL draft. And speaking of the NFL draft, we have our favorite segment coming up next. It's cash or trash. I will lay out 5 picks that I like in the NFL draft, and Chase McCabe will tell me whether they are cash or if they are trash. That's coming up next. You are listening to The Money Line here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, powered by TwinSpires. Welcome back into the Money Line here on a Thursday evening. Ryan Porth and Chase McCabe here with you on a Thursday.
What's up?
Where we're normally here on a Friday at 6 o'clock. It's Thursday, the 7 o'clock hour. We are here because the Nashville Predators are taking on the Chicago Blackhawks tomorrow night in Chicago. I have something from the Preds-Blackhawks game in my parlay of the week. That's called a tease, and that's coming up later on in this very program of the Money Line, where we're talking all things sports betting. If you're new, thanks for listening. Again, we are on Fridays at 6 p.m. right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And our favorite segment that we like to do here on the show is called Cash or Trash, where I will lay out 5 picks that I like, and Chase McCabe will tell me whether those picks are either cash or they are trash. And I had your number in the NCAA tournament pretty well.
Yes. Yes, you did.
And last week we went through the MLB future bets that I did. So we won't know the results of those until October, unfortunately. But we wanted to spend this time, since we are 1 week away from the NFL draft, to go over 5 picks for the NFL draft that I like, and we will see whether or not Chase McCabe likes them. So let's start with number one. The number one pick, or excuse me, the number one cash or trash selection. This is the bet. A quarterback is to be selected with each of the first 4 picks. On TwinSpires, it is at minus 150. Chase McCabe, is that bet cash or is it trash?
You're on the struggle bus there, right? First 4 picks at quarterback. Well, it goes back to the conversation we just had in the first segment of, you know, Atlanta kind of holding the cards there. Now they could trade out and another team goes in and gets a quarterback. But I would say that's cash. I think the first 4 picks are going to be quarterbacks.
Okay. Well, I mean, again, like we detailed last segment, the Falcons hold a lot of the cards at number 4 overall, dictating how that top 10 is going to shake out. I mean, I'm surprised that it is the favorite, honestly, because when you look at who's going to get drafted 4th overall, Kyle Pitts is the favorite.
Yeah.
So I'm surprised that this very prop is favored at minus 150, but I'm going to take it because I do think a team is going to trade up and get Justin Fields, or the Falcons are going to say that he is their future. So that is the number one selection for me for cash or trash. Let's move on to number two, where the Tennessee Titans on the TwinSpire Sportsbook, you can pick what position they will draft with their first draft pick. So the exact playing position. And we all know that they're in the market for a receiver, an offensive lineman, perhaps a pass rusher still at linebacker, and maybe even a defensive lineman. But the favorite is cornerback at plus 225. And that is my pick for cash or trash, that the Titans will spend their first pick, whether that's at 22nd overall or if they trade back, whenever their first pick comes, it is a cornerback plus 225. That is my selection. Chase, is that cash or is it trash?
Just real quick, I just got distracted because NFL Network's doing a live mock draft, and they have Nico Collins, the wide receiver out of Michigan, going to the Titans in the second round. So that's interesting.
Ooh.
I am going to say trash.
Oh,
here's why. I have been saying, I've actually said that I would prefer the Titans to take corner. I love J.C. Horn. He'd probably be my number one to go to at 22. But I think there are other teams that love him too, if they stay at 22 and then especially if they move back. I don't think they're going to be able to get the corner that they want. And so then they're going to have to go into best player available at the need, you know, at needs that they have. And I think it's going to be receiver.
Mm.
So I think for the first time since Corey Davis, this team's going to be selecting a receiver in the first round. I'm not saying that's what I want to happen, but I think that that's what they're going to do.
Well, unfortunately, them drafting a receiver in the first round, i.e. Corey Davis back in 2017, was not all that long ago.
No, it wasn't. I honestly could see, and I wouldn't hate this, I'd be totally fine with this, if they traded back to like 27, 28 and took Elijah Moore, I'd be cool with it.
I would be cool with that as well. So, all right, two down, three to go. The number three cash or trash pick for me, Alabama over 5.5 players selected in the first round. So Alabama, Crimson Tide, getting over 5.5 of their players selected in the first round of the NFL draft. Now, Mac Jones, Patrick Surtain Jr., Devontae Smith, and Jaylen Waddle, to me and to a lot of people, are locks. They are absolute locks. So there's four. I think Najee Harris is a lock. We'll see if running backs just naturally slide down in the draft. But Najee Harris, to me, is a slam dunk star running back in the league. Pittsburgh at 24 is an attractive option there. There's a couple of other teams that I feel like would take a chance on Najee Harris in the first round. So there's five. And then you're banking on either Landon Dickerson, the center, or Christian Barmore, the D lineman, to also get drafted in the first round. And I will say that happens, and the over hits 5.5. Chase, cash or trash?
Yeah, I was thinking about this one and trying to count, and I forgot about Najee Harris because he's right there. Like I think he's towards the tail end of the first round. But I do agree with you. I think he goes in the first round, and so I'm going to say cash. I think it happens.
All right, straight cash, homie.
It's either going to be, like you said, Dickerson or the defensive lineman. I saw early on a couple of mocks that had Leatherwood up there. I don't see it. I think he's later on.
Yeah, Christian Barmore, Dane Brugler, had the Titans taking Christian Barmore at 22 overall.
Interesting.
You'll see other drafts or mock drafts where Barmore is probably an early to mid second round pick, but whether it's Green Bay or whether it's Kansas City with Landon Dickerson, it feels like Dickerson will end up in one of those two spots in a lot of the mock drafts you see. And obviously those two clubs have needs there, and Landon Dickerson, an All-American center for Alabama. All right, moving on. We have an Alabama theme here.
Roll
with
time.
Cash or trash. Mac Jones, the third overall pick, at minus 167. I'm surprised this isn't a heavier favorite with how much smoke there's been around Mac Jones going to the Niners, who traded up to the third overall pick. So I'm saying that pick is going to happen. Mac Jones, the third overall pick in the NFL draft. Chase, is that cash or trash?
Well, I mean, it's cash. I'll just go ahead and say it. I won't even, you know, I won't have a build up to that, because as somebody we used to work with said, book it. I just think that Shanahan has found his guy that he can build around, that he can develop. We'll see what happens with Jimmy G and what that's going to, I mean, obviously they're going to move on. I still think there's going to be a scenario where Jimmy G ends back up in New England. I just could see that happening, even though they've
wouldn't
paid Cam.
Something?
But I just that it feels right. And like I said, a month or so ago, you know, that didn't feel right. But when San Francisco moved into that position, it's like, okay, it just, that's the prototypical Kyle Shanahan type quarterback that he can develop. And Mac Jones shocked a lot of people with what he did last year and just his huge coming out party. So I think that's a lock. I think that's cash.
And the final pick for cash or trash this week, again, Alabama theme, Najee Harris, the first running back selected. Again, I was surprised that the odds on TwinSpires were so low. Minus 125 that Najee Harris is the first running back selected. Travis Etienne is at plus 125. So they basically think it's going to be Harris or Etienne. I am pretty shocked that Harris is at minus 125. I'm taking that. Is that cash or trash?
I think that is trash. I think Etienne goes first.
Oh, really?
I think, and this is probably, like I said, tail end of, Ryan, I have looked at so many mocks in the last like day that they all run together. But I've seen one that had Tampa taking Etienne. I've seen one that had Tampa taking Najee Harris. I've seen, which I'm kind of like, that doesn't make sense. I think they're good. I think Tampa's good at running back.
They're fine.
So I don't think they really need help there. I've seen Kansas City. I mean, all these teams kind of in that range. That one of those guys go to, but I don't think you can go wrong either way. I really don't. I think they're both very, very talented, but I'm going to say Etienne goes before Najee Harris.
I am surprised that you went trash there. I really thought you were going to go cash. So
now here's the interesting thing, because I agreed with you on the over 5.5 with Bama players. And if this all comes down to like, it's at the end of the draft, end of the first round, and there's a chance that both of them are not going to go, then I've kind of hedged here, but we'll
yes,
see.
You have. So we'll see how those NFL draft futures shake out. Again, we are 1 week away from the NFL draft taking place in Cleveland, and a lot of interesting things on the board for the NFL draft on the TwinSpires Sportsbook, on all other sportsbooks. So this is a great time to get in on that action for TwinSpires. So the NFL draft, I'm going to be really interested to see if there's live, like who's going to be picked at every single selection. I'm really interested to see if those pop up.
Oh, I think there will. I can see it happening.
I will absolutely partake if that's the case. All right.
For sure.
Parlays of the week, back to the future. Another couple of weekly segments that we do. That's coming up next here on The Money Line. Ryan Porth and Chase McCabe here with you on a Thursday evening. The Money Line is powered by TwinSpires Sportsbook. They are my sportsbook, and you can hear my parlay of the week and Chase's parlay of the week next right here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Welcome back into The Money Line, ESPN 1025 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Ryan Porth and Chase McCabe here with you on a Thursday evening. The Preds and Blackhawks play tomorrow night, with pregame starting at 6. We are typically on Fridays at 6 p.m. So, Chase, we have spent the first half of the show talking all things NFL draft, but we have parlays of the week. We have back to the future. two of our weekly staples here on the program, and we are going to veer away from the NFL draft with all of these selections. And I know you, Chase McCabe, are a huge parlay guy.
I love a good parlay.
I mean, you love your parlays. So we typically have one or two parlays per week that we like to share here on the program. So I know you have two parlays. What's the first one?
Yes. So, all right. I'm doing something a little different with my first parlay. I'm going to go across three different sports for this. I'm feeling froggy, you know?
Okay.
Now, last week, the Buffalo Sabres kind of became to me like the Ottawa Senators have been to you.
Yeah.
Because I had my lock of the week and it was looking good. And then at the very end, it did not look good.
Nope.
But I'm going back to that well. The Boston Bruins, and by the way, these are all tomorrow. So these are all Friday games. The Boston Bruins, I'm going to lay that 1.5 against the Sabres. So that's going to be the first leg of this. Taking the Bruins, -1.5.
Okay.
For the second leg, we go to the Association. And this one, the Rockets have been on the struggle bus. This is a big number, and I usually don't like big numbers. But the Clippers are so freaking good, I'm laying the 11.5.
Is that game in Houston or L.A.?
It is in Houston.
Okay. Not that really makes a difference. I'm surprised it's only 11.5.
And you know what? Hang on. It may not be in Houston. That may actually be in L.A. I closed the window by accident.
Good job.
That is, yeah, it's in Houston.
Okay.
So I was right there.
All right. I like that. What's leg number three?
And then leg number three is a day game in the majors.
Oh. The Cubs.
Kyle Hendricks has to get this turned around eventually, right? I mean,
You would think.
So give me the Cubbies straight up against the Brewers. And those beautiful uniforms. That's like a 1:30 start tomorrow.
So the Brewers just went on the road and swept the San Diego Padres. A 3-game sweep in San Diego. So we'll see if Milwaukee can keep that up or if they have a letdown against the Cubs. I was eyeballing that game as a game to potentially put money on with the Cubs tomorrow. So I think I'm in agreement with your last two picks. I don't know if your first one is going to hit.
The Bruins.
I mean, they're playing right now, and Tuukka Rask won't be in net tomorrow night, you wouldn't think. So the Sabres will get the backup, and the Sabres have been pesky ever since their long losing streak. So I think that is actually the riskiest of all three that you put out there.
Well, we'll see. We'll see how I'm feeling tomorrow. I mean, I'll at least know the first leg, you know, pretty early.
Yes, so, you will. All right, what's parlay number two?
Parlay number two is all baseball. I'm gonna go against the team that just swept your Reds. So I am taking my Bravos to avenge you against the Arizona Diamondbacks. The Braves are -148. Is the number I saw on the money line. So I like the Bravos. Anoya is supposed to pitch for them. And then we go to the American League. Zach Greinke on the mound for the Astros. The Astros -130 against the Angels. Mm. I will take the Stros in that one. And then, please don't make me regret this, Sonny Gray on the bump for his second start of the year. Against the Reds, we saw him pitch last week. The Reds -125 in St. Louis, taking on the Cardinals.
Mm. Well, maybe I'm too close to the forest to see the trees on this one, but the Reds rarely play well in St. Louis. Their bullpen was just horrific against the Arizona Diamondbacks in this 3-game series. I mean, just absolutely horrific. They got to bounce back at some point, but I'm not feeling that parlay for you, but I hope it. But I do hope it hits for your purpose.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
So my parlay is a Chase McCabe specialty.
Ooh.
Going with three NHL goal scorers tomorrow night.
Ooh, let's go. I'm going to write these down.
All right. So in early action, the Flyers are taking on the Rangers. The Rangers have scored a ton of goals against the Flyers in their recent meetings. Give me Mika Zibanejad, anytime goal scorer for the Rangers against the Flyers. He is leg one. Leg two is in the Predators-Blackhawks game. Ooh. Give me Victor Arvidsson, anytime goal scorer, to add to Zibanejad. Chase, you're laughing. I think I know why.
Okay.
Yeah. I think
need
you've
him to hustle.
Maybe been burned by that before.
I have. I love Victor Arvidsson, but yeah, I'm gonna need that to hit.
Okay. And then leg number three of this is an old friend of the Nashville Predators.
Oh.
Kevin Fiala, Minnesota taking on the Los Angeles Kings. The Wild are on a roll. I will take Fiala against the Kings anytime goal scorer. So that is my three-way NHL goal scorer parlay for tomorrow. I don't have current odds on that because not all three games are available just yet in the Twin Spire Sportsbook. So we will see. I'm going to guess that's going to come out around about plus 1,200 or plus 1,500.
Yeah, I would
that's
say
going to
be
my guess.
Good.
I think that has some pretty real potential there.
I like it. I think it has potential too. I like it a lot.
So
I like it a lot.
That I like it a lot. So that is my parlay of the week. Let's now go back to the future with some future bets. Chase, I know you've got one this week that you have your eye on. Which one is that?
So I'm gonna go a little soccer, a little major
okay.
league soccer. I was looking at, you know, I gave you a few weeks ago kind of where the where Nashville SC was to win the MLS Cup, but I'm looking at strictly the Eastern Conference, and the favorite is the Colorado Crew at plus 250 to win the Eastern Conference.
You mean the Columbus Crew?
Did I say Colorado? Columbus Crew. Thank you so much. I completely screwed
They both
this up.
Start with COL, so you
they
got
do,
that going for
they
you.
They do, and I knew Columbus and whatever. Columbus Crew at plus 250 as the favorite. Nashville SC is at plus 3,300 after their 2-2 draw against FC Cincinnati. Now, what I find interesting is they actually have FC Cincinnati at plus 3,000, so a little bit better than Nashville SC. And Nashville SC should have won that game 5-2.
Absolutely.
So I like that. Plus 3,300, jumping on it early to win the East. I still think this is a very good team. I'm bringing up a local team, but I like that number. It's a good number.
Okay. You know what? We are barking up the same tree here. Because I was looking at the same exact future bets, but for the granddaddy of them all, the MLS Cup.
Okay.
Nashville SC is plus 6,600. They are 66-1. Nashville SC finished the year strong last year. They performed well in the playoffs. They have a good system with Gary Smith. They have a couple of goal scorers that can light it up on any night. Plus 6,600. I'll put a few shekels down on that.
Yeah.
And I'll be celebrating right before Christmas as Nashville SC hoists the MLS Cup.
I could see, you know, it would be crazy and cool, crazy and cool. If Nashville SC comes in here and they're the first to win a major championship between the three, between the Titans and the Preds. It's like, hey, second year, what's up?
that would be something for sure. I'm also staying local on this one, on the second one for Back to the Future. The Memphis Grizzlies to make the playoffs is plus 100. It's even odds.
Okay.
And they have to get through the play-in round. So whether they end up as the 7, 8, 9, or 10 seed. They would have to win that play-in round to get into the normal playoffs. But they're also only 2.5 games back of Portland. So, I mean, the Grizzlies have been a little hot and cold this season, but if they end the season on a hot streak, they might not even have to play in the play-in round. So I like the odds of the Grizzlies plus 100 to get into the playoffs. That is another future bet of mine that has local ties.
I like that. I like that.
And Ja Morant we trust.
And Ja Morant we trust, that is for sure.
He is on fire for the Grizz.
In fuego. Okay, I like those. Those are good.
Also, I'm going to throw a couple shekels on the Colorado Blue Jackets to win the Stanley Cup. This is the Money Line here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Ryan Porth and Chase McCabe here with you on a Thursday evening. Coming up next, we will close out the show with our locks of the week and a bad beat that I need to get off my chest. Ooh. That's all coming up next here on the Money Line, all powered by TwinSpire Sportsbook. Ryan Porth, Chase McCabe here with you on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome into the final segment of the Money Line here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Ryan Porth, Chase McCabe here with you. And a couple weeks ago when we did our locks of the week, it was the start of the show, but we typically end the show with our locks of the week. And Chase McCabe, so far since we started the Money Line, is 4-1 with his locks of the week, doing a lot better than me. I'm still 1-2 with my locks of the week. So, Chase, you are the par man of the group. You get to go first for locks of the week. What is your lock of the week?
So, we've kind of had this theme in the last few minutes. We're going to keep it local for my lock of the week.
Okay.
Yesterday, the Preds and the Blackhawks, 9 goals were scored. Needed overtime. We all know what happened. The Preds had a 4-1 lead. They lose 5-4 in overtime. So the over hit by a lot in that one. I don't think that's going to be the case tomorrow night. My lock of the week is the under 5.5.
Ooh.
I think things are going to slow down a little bit, and this is going to be more of a just a chess match, so to speak, more of a defensive game. I like the under 5.5 in this one.
In the neighborhood of 3-1, 3-2, something
somewhere
along those
in
lines.
There. Yep.
All right. Well, the under hit in each of the first 5 meetings between the Preds and the Hawks, and then this week Monday it went over with 7 goals, and then like you said, 9 goals last night. So I don't hate that.
I'm glad.
I don't hate that.
I'm glad you don't hate that.
Yeah, I approve of your lock of the week there, Chase.
I just hope it's a Nashville victory.
All right. So my lock of the week is anything but local.
Ooh,
we are as far away from this matchup as we possibly can be. And that is the Dodgers and the Padres. They play tonight, game one of a 4-game set, which, by the way, the 3-game set at Petco last week was incredible. There was the benches cleared one of the games. Another game, Mookie Betts makes a diving catch to save the game for the Dodgers. In game 3, the Sunday matinee, the Padres score a few runs in the 8th inning to take the lead. It was a fantastic 3-game set. I'm really looking forward to this 4-game set at Dodger Stadium between the Padres and the Dodgers. I kind of feel like they're going to be this year's version of Red Sox-Yankees when Red Sox-Yankees was in its prime. In the 2000s.
Yep.
Kind of think that's going to be the 2021 rivalry that has everyone's eye. Tomorrow night's matchup, Friday night, the pitching matchup, Yu Darvish versus Clayton Kershaw.
Ooh.
I don't think a lot of runs are going to be scored tomorrow night. There weren't a lot of runs scored in the matchups between these two teams already. The first game of the 3-game set in San Diego did have 17 runs, but 2 runs in game 2, 7 runs in game 3, 7.5. I'm going under the 7.5 with Darvish and Kershaw on the bump.
I like that. Cause I mean, that's a pitcher's duel on paper, and that's what it should be. Now I know you got bats on both sides that can certainly hurt either one of them, but I think that they're going to be locked in. They know how big this is, even though it's still April. I like that. That's good. Under 7.5, I'll take it.
Now, you have a rule with betting that life is too short to bet the under, but we both just put unders in as our locks.
We did.
How do you feel about that?
I guess life's too short to bet the over this week.
Some reverse psychology there from Chase.
Yes.
So
that's where we are.
Your lock under 5.5 for the Preds and the Hawks. My lock under 7.5 tomorrow night, Friday night, between the Padres and the Dodgers. Who knows what will happen tonight at Dodger Stadium. But some interesting matchups to be sure tomorrow night in the world of sports. All right, before we get out of here, I have to share a bad beat. Because last week we went on and 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 on to start the show about bad beats.
Yep.
That I hate the Ottawa Senators with all my guts, and that you've had some bad beats as well. And perhaps the ultimate bad beat of the hockey season cost me a parlay. And it had nothing to do with the Ottawa Senators.
Which is good, because you might have, like, hurt somebody.
I may have thrown my laptop out the window if I had lost in this fashion because of the Ottawa Senators. So Tuesday night, I put down, I think it was a 5-leg parlay in the NHL with odds of, I want to say it was like plus 3,000. I mean, okay. No, it was much more than that. I forget exactly what it was. I think I put down like $10 to win 50 on this. So it would have been like plus 5,000, whatever. That's irrelevant. So the Pittsburgh Penguins are leading the New Jersey Devils 6-0 at the end of two periods. 6-0. I've got Penguins minus 1.5 in this parlay. Minus 1.5. They're up 6-0. I mean, that's a lock.
That's good. Yeah,
right?
You're good.
I'm golden. I look at the score.
You could tweet that out and be totally fine.
Exactly. I look at the score, and it is 6-3 Penguins. I'm thinking, oh God, here we go. Another Ottawa Senators situation where they just completely screw me in the third period when a game was over. Then the Devils make it 7-4, or excuse me, the Penguins make it 7-3 with a Crosby goal. I'm feeling pretty good about this. Then the Devils score three straight goals to end the game and lose 7-6, including the last goal that the Devils scored was Tristan Jarry going out of the net, thinking that he was going to fling the puck down ice and score an empty netter. He could not corral the puck. He loses the puck, and 2 seconds later, it ends up in the back of the net.
Oh. Oh. That is a bad beat.
The other four legs of the parlay hit.
Oh, of course they did, because it's always one.
And that was probably the ultimate bad beat of the NHL season. I've had some doozies with the Senators involved, but the Penguins up 6-0 with 20 minutes to play, and they don't cover the minus 1.5.
Do you feel better talking this out, or feel worse that you've brought it up again?
I felt better last week bringing up all, 25 scenarios with the Ottawa Senators that I've missed this year. I kind of feel worse about this now.
I don't blame you.
But
I don't blame you at all.
But because of all my losses with Ottawa, I'm kind of numb to it at this point. So, right now I'm not feeling numb to it. I'm feeling it pretty good right now, and I'm not too happy about it. So thank you, New Jersey Devils, for screwing me.
They've joined the Ottawa Senators. That's what they've done.
They're not there yet.
They're getting close.
They are not entering the no touch category for me. I have not bet against the Ottawa Senators since that game against Toronto a couple weeks ago.
That's smart.
Anyway, this has been the Money Line. Ryan Porth, Chase McCabe. Chase, fun stuff as always.
Yeah, good luck. Good luck with all your bets. Good luck to everybody out there.
Good luck with all your bets as well.
Thank you.
And all our listeners, thank you for listening. Again, this is the Money Line. Typically, Fridays at 6 p.m. We got bumped to Thursday at 7 p.m. because of the Nashville Predators taking on the Chicago Blackhawks tomorrow night. Pre-game at 6, puck drop at 7. The Money Line is powered by TwinSpire Sportsbook, and you are listening to ESPN 102.5 The Game.